Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Tom Alba, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board back at the World Headquarters in Madison. It is a beautiful Wednesday, a little rainy, a little blues music as well, Mr. Zommers. How about that?
Hump day!
And a little hump day camel. Got to get that in there.
And a little hump day camel, of course. Mr. Zommers, we're playing a little blues, which is a genre of music that I just love and enjoy. We're going to talk more about it at the bottom of the hour with the Cashbox Kings. I know Joe Nosek will be joining us at the bottom of the hour, maybe Oscar Wilson as well, but at least I know Joe is for the Cashbox Kings at the bottom of the hour. And going to talk about, in the realm of blues, they are a newer blues band based here in the Midwest. And we're going to talk to them a little bit about how you get current issues like gentrification and digital downloading and piracy into a blues song. How about that?
You know, I really like that idea. I haven't listened to a lot of Cashbox Kings, a little bit, mostly because when we had a friend of the show, Chris Pauls, on a while ago, he had us play some Cashbox Kings. So I'm thinking he's been a longtime fan, and then that turned me on to him a little bit, but might have to listen more if they're bringing some modern takes to the blues.
Absolutely. They're a great band, and I'm really looking forward to having the Cashbox Kings on at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk to them all about blues and songwriting and everything else cool. Appreciate Trigby Olson being on, as well as Pat Kreitlow in the last hour. Lots going on right now from Tommy Tuberville in D.C., as well as here in, as we said, the Republicans. And I find this interesting, Mr. Zommers, that it's not people like me, or it's not people even on the left or Democrats that keep bringing up issues like transgender rights and this or LGBTQ rights. It's the Republicans that keep bringing, it's the Republicans that keep making this an issue. And I find it fascinating that, you know, most other folks are just like, you know, live and let live. We're out here at Richland Center today, my hometown. You know, there are certainly gay people here. There are certainly trans people here. But nobody makes a big deal about it that I know of. I mean, I don't live here full time anymore. But it wasn't something that, you know, was made a big deal about. And it seems like to me it's the Republicans that keep bringing this up all the time.
Yeah, the way that it appears and has appeared to me for a long time is that just this hypothetical situation, one person who is like visibly transitioning or not passing, whether or not they're even trans, like they don't look like, or they look, it's ambiguous. And then somebody in the Republican Party sees them and is like, oh, look, it's a trans, it's a woke. Right. They're transing my kids. I don't like it. They're evil. And they're like, I was literally just walking down the street. And then they keep bringing it up. They're like, hey, can you stop just yelling at me and trying to stop me from living my life? They're like, see, they're making a fuss. They're making a noise. They're bad.
Right. It's just people living their lives. And I think that the caller that we had, Blue with Susan, was absolutely spot on. It's about just showing respect for one another, just trying to understand one another. And that certainly, those are the values that I was taught here in Southwest Wisconsin. It was respect one another. And love one another. You know, that's the irony of someone who grew up with the United Methodist Church here and is still a person of faith. If you actually are a Christian, if you actually follow Christ's example, it's one of compassion and it's one of agape love. In other words, you love everyone, right? And if there's any judgment to be had, you leave that to God. And
exactly.
we should simply show compassion and show love, because at the end of the day, you know, as the caller pointed out, the suicide rate amongst trans folks is much higher. And no one, I don't care who it is, I don't care who your political beliefs are, left, right, indifferent, no person, no political party, no candidate should be calling for the extermination of anyone, which is what the Ron DeSantis camp is doing.
Yeah, so, that's just wrong.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but thankfully there are a lot more people, I believe, that do show compassion, that do show love, that do show understanding. And so the point is we want to focus on that. Speaking of focusing on things that can make a difference, that can matter, here at Michelin Center, partly due to the fact that there is an organization called the Patriotic Millionaires in town here in Southwest Wisconsin tonight. We're going to be at that. Looking forward to it. And if you would like to join us, you can come on out to the Phoenix Center Bowling Alley here in Richland Center on Orange Street. The doors open at 5 o'clock, dinner at 5:30, and program to follow. Also, you could come out along, have some free bowling as well, and all being put on by this group of Patriotic Millionaires, which essentially are a group of folks who have done very well financially, who have done very well in business, who say, you know what, we don't feel we're paying our fair share in taxes. And there's the founder, Erica Payne, is also going to be here. She wrote the book, Tax the Rich: How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. And so again, doesn't matter what political party you're affiliated with, or if you're not affiliated with any, doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, if you're a Trumpster or a Biden person, come on out, because we're not gonna, the point for tonight is not to talk about those issues, those division issues, but simply about money. And learn how, if we tax people the right way, we can all earn a little bit more money. So come on out tonight. Doors open at 5 o'clock. Program at 5:30 at the Phoenix Center. We'll come back and take your calls. And we have the Cash Box King. It's on the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the show, the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 15 past the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a hump day Wednesday. Mr. Aaron Zobbers on the board, our producer and engineer. You on the phones as well until 2:30 at 2:30 then. Welcoming in the Cashbox Kings, Joe Nosick, or the main founders of that group, Cashbox Kings, great blues band here in the Midwest. Going to talk to him about songwriting for kind of things like gentrification. How do you make a blues song on gentrification? We'll find out the answer to that much more at 2:30 in our conversation with Cashbox Kings. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. On location here at WRCE in Southwest Wisconsin in Richland Center. Welcoming your phone calls in on this afternoon. Let's go to the phones now. And Mr. Zobbers, I'm sorry I didn't write down who it was we had on the phone. I apologize.
We have Stephanie, a Richland Center native, who's now calling from Madison.
Oh, fantastic. Stephanie, great to have you on the show. What say you?
What say me? Well, I'm 72 years old. I grew up in Richland Center. I left and I moved away in 1967. I'll make it as succinct as I can. Basically, I went to school in Richland Center. Went to school in Richland Center for the most part, except had 5 years here in Madison because was born with visual impairments and had my sight restored, but eventually I'm now legally blind. But I came back, went to school in Madison, came back, went to St. Mary's Grade School and our good old Richland Center High School, left in 67 in part because of bullying. I did graduate from high school in Richland Center, got the GED. But, there's a lot of good I can say. I still have some family members in Richland Center. A lot of good people. People have these ideas about small towns, and they make these assumptions. When I was growing up, I had some really difficult experiences, mostly in high school, pretty much. Up till then, it was wonderful. As a kid, I loved growing up in Richland Center, I did. Back in the 50s and 60s, more people went to high school, okay, and they were not college graduates, but you have, I always say, native intelligence, okay? there are a lot of really, really, really good people in Richland Center. Good people in the high school, some wonderful teachers, and just wonderful people, you know. And looking back, I know that there are people who were gay or are, you know, I don't know if they're still alive. One of them was one of my teachers, and this man was like the kindest man that you could ever want to know. You know, and other people too, but just, it, I'm really glad to make this connection with you because, it took me a while to get past some hard feelings. But I did, you know, and, I have never been to a high school reunion, have no desire to. My husband is the opposite, but, Richland Center has a lot of good going for it, and I'm so glad to hear what you guys have got going. I think that is just absolutely awesome. I do. I am totally thrilled. And by the way, my husband and I, my husband love the Cashbox Kings. They're awesome. They're amazing.
Oh, really? Well, that's fantastic. We'll look forward to having them on here. I appreciate your call so much. You know, I think you make a great point, and that's, I don't think it matters whether it's Richland Center, or whether it's Merrill or Green Bay or Waukesha or Amory, wherever, you know, I think in every community, large and small, with that, that's a shared experience, unfortunately, you know, that we have, that all of us can go through bullying of some type, feeling, you know, misguided. But also in all of these towns, one thing that I've learned and experienced traveling across the state, they're also, as you point out, really good examples of people as well, and really kind-hearted souls. And the more we can find that commonality with one another, the more we can show respect to one another, the stronger we are as a state. Appreciate you calling in. Thank you so very much, and have a great day. 844-967-2789, number if you'd like to join us on the show, 844-967-2789. Look at the text line and apologize. Nothing that I don't believe that Mr. Zommers and I are doing, but apparently there are some issues on the stream, Mr. Zommers, and the quality of the broadcast right now, according to our text line. So I apologize profusely. A couple of them are regular listeners, so I'm not sure what's going on, but we will work on them.
Yep. We are aware of a couple of our internet issues here, and we're waiting on the internet company to get back to us. We called again to just a quick update because we are working on it. We called again today, and the answer we got was the typical customer service answer of, "We will look at it. We're still figuring it out. Come back later."
Well, all right. I can relate to that actually, and apologize profusely because it appears to be on the stream. I'm not sure whether it's just the app. I know our app was not quite functioning the way we would like it to earlier, or whether it's also on the internet stream as well. But again, we share your frustration. Some of these things technology-wise are beyond our control, but rest assured, we are on it, and we will have it for you as quick as possible. Don't forget, if you live in a community that has a civic media station in it, and there's more and more every day, sometimes it's just best to turn on the old radio, right? Kind of the best way to do it, to listen to us here in Southwest Wisconsin, WRCE AM 1450 and FM 107.7 is where we are at today here in my hometown, Richland Center. And again, getting ready for tonight, the Patriotic Millionaires event. If you're listening to us in Southwest Wisconsin, even WLCX, the Eagle up in La Crosse, Wisconsin, or maybe you're up in Wisconsin Rapids. Come on down. You still have time. Doors open at the Phoenix Center tonight at 5 o'clock for registration. And then at 5:30, have yourself a free dinner. Great meal. Dewey is going to be, I'm sure, in the kitchen fixing us the meal at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center tonight. And an event put on by the Patriotic Millionaires. And I know some people say, well, geez, Todd, this is a scam. It sounds a little bit like Amway. I get it, but no, it is not a scam. What Patriotic Millionaires are, in a very small definition, are a group of folks who have done very, very well for themselves, run businesses, made a lot of money, and they basically say, you know what, we don't believe that we are being taxed enough for the wealth that we have. And if we had a fairer tax system in America, where we would pay a larger share, then folks that are not as fortunate as us, more middle-class folks, would actually pay less in taxes. And that would put more money in people's pockets to empower them to make their communities stronger. That's a very 30,000-foot paraphrase. Erica Payne, the founder and president of the Patriotic Millionaires, will be in Richland Center tonight. Her book entitled Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. She will be here amongst a couple other folks as well. My former boss, State Senator Dale Schultz, will be here in attendance as well, kind of saying, look, I've met with these people. They have something to say. We should all listen to them. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. Doesn't matter what your cultural ideologies are. They're not going to get into any of that tonight. This is about one thing, money. That's all it is, the dollar sign. And how, if we elect people, doesn't matter what party or any party, if we elect people that believe in a more fair taxation system, then that will lead to more wealth for all of us. You are not going to be asked to give anything, to pay anything. Don't write it. Don't bring your checkbook. Don't bring any cash. It's on the house. And in fact, if you're chosen for this ongoing project, you're actually going to be paid $50 moving forward just to show up and learn and listen. So Patriotic Millionaires tonight at 5:30 at the Phoenix Center. Doors open at 5 o'clock. We'd love to have you stop by and be part of the event tonight. As we said, coming up in just a couple of minutes here at the bottom of the hour, Cashbox Kings, Joe Nosek going to be in and talk a little music here in Southwest Wisconsin. Well, they're not going to be here right now, but they'll be on the show. That's the point. And also taking your calls for the next couple of minutes as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Would love to hear from you on a Wednesday afternoon in the RC in Richland Center. Was going to talk just a little bit about an article in ProPublica this week, called Right-Wing Websites Connected to Former Trump Lawyer Are Scamming Loyal Followers with Phony Celebrity Pitches. Have you heard about this? And this kind of goes back to what we said before. Don't believe everything you see online, right? Especially advertisements. I'm going to read you just a couple of sentences on this. Article starts, Oprah Winfrey looked upset. The photo caught her mid-sentence, her left hand jabbing at the camera. Quote, they are twisting everything, unquote. The TV icon was quoted as saying under a red breaking news banner. The ad featuring the Winfrey image and quote ran on the conservative website DC Swamp Tales. It directed readers to a webpage that resembled a news article. The text spun a narrative about a television interviewer who unfairly berated Winfrey for promoting a revolutionary product that could reverse dementia instantly and for good. But the catch is, there was no such dispute. Winfrey's quote was fake, and her name and likeness were used without permission. The product, a low-dose cannabis-derived gummy supplement, does not treat dementia, let alone reverse it. Quote, these ads are false. Oprah Winfrey does not have anything to do with these products, unquote. That from Nicole Nichols, a spokesperson for Winfrey's company, Harpo Incorporated, speaking to ProPublica.
And just this think, Todd, thing. This could be so much worse if they made an AI voice thing of her saying it.
Thank you. That's exactly where I was going. It's like you read my mind. First, they have this kind of print thing that appears online. It's just a photo, right? And a fake story. And Mr. Zomers is exactly right. I'm telling you, I keep repeating this because this is what's coming, is we're going to start hearing things in action. Because what this AI, this artificial intelligence will do, it'll just record hundreds of Oprah Winfrey shows, right? And it will get all of her inflections and her exact voice. And then they can program it to quote unquote, make Oprah Winfrey say anything they want. Around air quotes. And this is what this writer's strike partly is about, artificial intelligence, creating things that aren't real, and human beings not being in control. You can laugh at me, you can say I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, it is coming. And it's going to make the 2024 presidential election and every other election very interesting. Have your antennae up for political BS or any other kind of BS. We'll try to be here and be the meter to tell you what's real and what's not. Love having you along on a Wednesday, July 12th, 2028. Again, we are live in 2020. I was looking at the time. 2023, Todd, is the time, is the year. We'll come back with a little Cashbox Kings, Joe Nosek, and talking about all things blues, not just in Wisconsin, but in the Midwest. Songwriting as well. Stay with us now. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. We are live on location in Southwest Wisconsin at one of our fine stations, WRCE, here in Richland Center across the Civic Media Radio Network, statewide across Wisconsin. Glad to have you along on a Wednesday here. And this is a segment I've been looking forward to and so excited to have on. That music right there, a song called Ain't No Fun When the Rabbits Got Your Gun. Fantastic song by the Cashbox Kings. And joining us today live via Zoom is Joe Nosek and Oscar Wilson. Gentlemen, welcome. Fantastic music.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Todd.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just the title alone, right? I mean, Britney Spears isn't writing any music called, you know, Ain't No Fun When the Rabbit's Got Your Gun. I mean, blues in and of itself is just a fun genre. And to me, it's just the beautiful, it's written word and written music combined like no other genre.
Yeah. It's more of a experience, you know.
It really is, right? It really is an experience. Before we get into all that, tell us, gentlemen, a little bit about yourself. Oscar, we'll start with you. Kind of where'd you grow up and how'd you get into playing blues?
I grew up on 43rd and Wales, 43rd Street primarily, and what's it called? Muddy Waters Drive now. Mm-hmm. I grew up around blues. My father was a blues man. Who passed away 2 months before I was born. And guess he, you know, gave me the blues, you know, gave it over to me. And as a little kid, I've always loved the blues. We've always had blues people around my house. Honey Boy Edwards, Junior Wells, Big Smokey Smothers, Lil Mac, Elmo James. Well, my mother used to have a fish fries, and they all, I guess, knew my father and stuff. So they would come over and they would play guitars and harmonicas and things, but it wasn't amplified. You know, you just sit in one room and they would just, you know, go at it. And that's where I grew up. And I got into blues. Now and then I would sit in with Johnny B. Moore and Melvin Taylor, which my ex-brother-in-law played bass for them.
Oh, wow.
They called him Bass Man Pete, but his name was Robert Peterson. And they would come by and practice sometime at my house before they go, and would you know this song here? Would you come on out and sing this song? So it would be for fun.
Right.
So, and then when I moved to Janesville, Wisconsin, it was quite, you know, I say divine intervention, but I went up to the VFW. I was bored, mm-hmm. and went up to the VFW, and the guitar player for then for the Cashbox King, he was there, and he came over to my table and introduced himself out of all the people in there. He came and introduced himself to me. Mm-hmm. And somehow I said, well, I sing and play a little harmonica. And he said, well, you want to come up? You know, I did. You know, we slayed the joint. And He said, come back next week, you know, same thing. And then one day he said, well, what you want to do, you know? I said, well, you know, I'd like to play at Buddy Gas. He said, well, give me 2 weeks. And 2 weeks, he came back. He said, we'll be playing at Buddy Gas, you know. And I went there, and that's when I met Joe and Kenny BDI Smith and Chris Bolger. And the rest is just history. You know,
right. That's absolutely remarkable. Just how things kind of, like you say, whether people want to call it divine intervention or just the universe or whatever, how people just kind of are brought together. Joe, how about you? Where did you grow up, and how did your journey start into blues and then helping create Cashbox Kings?
Well, I can say safely that Junior Wells and Elmore James never played Fish Fries in my front room of my house. I wish they would have, but I had a very different. Oscar grew up in the South Side of Chicago. I grew up in Whitewater, Wisconsin, till I was about 13, and then moved down to the suburbs of Chicago. And that's kind of where the blues bug hit me. I did at a young age start diving into my dad's record collection when I was a little kid, and I liked the Stones records he had. And I'd always look, you know, I look at the artwork and the songwriting credits. I see Jagger Richards. And then I'd see McKinley Morganfield or Chester Burnett. And I'm like, who are these guys? And you couldn't Google people back then. So I had to actually go to the library and try to find out who Chester Burnett and McKinley Morganfield were. And turns out they were Muddy Waters and the Howlin' Wolf. And I thought, wow, man, when I heard them, that's where it was at. So up until that point, I was kind of an aspiring Neil Young, Bob Dylan wannabe with my harmonica rack and acoustic guitar. But when I heard the blues cats playing harmonica, like Little Walter and Junior Wells and Sonny Boy Williamson, I said, man, that's the art form that I aspire to play. So I just kind of started teaching myself. I had an older cousin who was about 5 years old, not a blues musician, but loved blues. And he was very adept at sneaking me into blues bars to the backyard or back door, the kitchen door down in Chicago. So in my teens, I started sneaking in, and I saw all the legends like Otis Rush and Buddy Guy and James Cotton and cats like that. And I said, man, if someday I could learn how to kind of somehow, you know, approximate this music and maybe get on stage, that'd be a dream. And now, you know, Oscar and I, a couple weeks ago, we're at Buddy Guy's, and Buddy got up on stage with us in the middle of the show and sat it for 20 minutes. So I would never thought in a million years something like that would happen and that we'd be playing around the world and bring this music. So it's been a long journey, but an amazing one.
Oscar, these are like moments that Joe just described. You know, I call myself a dumb drummer. I was in marching band and concert band and jazz band back in high school. But guys like you are the real talent that could just, you know, just, you don't have to use music. It's just playing it from the heart and the soul. And what's that like, Oscar, for you to be on stage when those moments happen? Is it kind of just transcend you into another place?
Well, I was in marching band and jazz band in school too. Even then I had something that the other guys didn't have. When I played jazz trombone, and you know, my playing was just different. You know, you got sheet music, you read the sheet music, but there's something else in, you know, in the play itself. You know, you can play music on the sheet, but most of the guys who read the music and play the music on the sheet, but when you got that other thing, that natural whatever it is,
yeah,
you know, like I lost my best friend at the time. He was first trombone in the jazz band, and I was first baritone in the concert band. So the jazz instructor said, hey, I need another trombone, Oscar. You want to play trombone? You know, I'm cool. You know, I just want a uniform.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I was in the band for. Get a pretty uniform. Girls like uniforms. You know? Play ball, so hey, I needed a uniform. So
it's still right, by the way. It's still right.
Yeah. We was playing some pieces, you know, and I, like I said, I just wanted to be in the band. I didn't give a damn. I would play cowbells. I triangles, you know. Hey, somebody didn't show up, hell, I'd play too, but I didn't care.
Right, you know? Right. But that's what I'm talking about, the soul, right? I mean, probably that one of the highlights for me of a live performance I ever saw, I was blessed to see a concert in Appleton while I was still in high school. It was Dizzy Gillespie and Clark Terry. And those guys just got on stage and they just went back and forth. It was a language that they were talking. It wasn't music. It wasn't being written. It was just a language between, and that's magical to me. And I don't think, and that's whether it's jazz or blues, that's the magic of it.
That's what I'm talking about. And we was playing a James Brown number, Let's Give Me Some More. JB's number, what it was, and he asked when the Fred Wesley solo came up, said, Lewis, can you play it? And he tried, he couldn't play it. Now, I only had this horn 2 weeks.
Wow.
You know, and he said, second trombone, could you? No, third, could you play it? Oscar, can you play it? I sure can. I kicked it out. And my best friend, you know, it was never the same. And I was like, dude, I'll teach it to you. Yeah. I don't gotta be out front. I just want to be in the band. But anyway, as you was talking about, when I'm on stage, sometimes, you know, Jill's the band leader, and sometimes, you know, he choose things, and I'm not feeling them, and I change it up. You know, not to be smart or anything, but I know when something should be different. Anyway, but when I'm on stage and I go into that zone, it's like some kind of euphoric stuff, you know, and when the band is cooking, you know, and it's easy, and you, and it's like you in a point, you in that zone where you can do no wrong,
right?
You know, and your feelings, you know, it may not be something that happened that day, but it could be something that happened a long time ago, and it'll bring that out of you.
Right. It's emotional. Joe, whether it's performing like that, I know you're both songwriters. Do you get the same sort of moment when you're writing as well as performing?
I think you get a more visceral kind of emotional, raw emotion playing live.
Yeah.
Live is kind of a transcendent experience, especially when you're locked in with 5-6 other musicians. And like you said, it's really a conversation that's taking place. And we take an ensemble approach, you know, whether it's blues or jazz, everyone's got to be listening to what everyone else is doing and reacting to what everyone else is doing. And you need to know it's like a puzzle, and you need to know where your piece fits in, and you don't want to be stepping on people's toes. It's not about trying to steal the spotlight. It's about fitting in and playing together as a group. Songwriting, I think, is a little more labor intensive. And I think there are times in songs that I've written or we've written together where it just kind of flows off the pen. And it's almost like someone else is writing the song. You're just channeling that through you. But I think that it can be revelatory experience as well. But it's more cerebral, I think, in a lot of ways, whereas when you're on stage, it's purely kind of an emotional, transcendent experience.
We're going to come back on the other side of the break and talk more about the songwriting. But Joe, in about a minute and a half here, we have left before the break. Give us a sense when you sit down and you write something like gentrification, or take on a subject like gentrification. Does it start that way? Do you say, I want to write a song about this? Or you just start writing and it ends up there?
Pretty much all songs Oscar and I write start as conversation when we're on the road. You know, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. That's a phrase he told his son when his son was, you know, a flanner and running around and with women. And finally his woman turned the tables on him. I said, I got to write a song about that. Oscar talked about, you know, how his neighborhood where he grew up and families grew up for generations, they're suddenly being priced out of where they live. And so I said, well, you know, we see that right in front of our eyes, let's write a song about it. So things that come up that we feel need to be addressed, because that's part of the mission of an artist, I think, is to raise your voice in opposition to things that you experience in the world that aren't right.
Joe Nosek and Oscar Wilson of Cashbox Kings are our guests. We're going to come back and talk to them about them on the other side. Stay with us now. It's the Tonto Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Blues is the subject. Oscar's Motel is the new album. More after this in the Tonto Ball Show. Across the state of Wisconsin, streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. We'll Hate to See You Go by a Little Walter there. We're not going to go quite yet. We've got the great Cashbox Kings here in the Midwest, based out of Chicago and appearing all around the country. And of course, you can download their brand new album, purchase it. That's the best way to support artists. Purchase the music. It's called Oscar's Motel, and you can find it at alligator.com and Cashbox Kings. .com. We're going to have all this information on our website. Just go to civicmedia.us and we'll have all the show notes there and how you can go online and purchase that as well. Joe Nosek and Oscar Wilson are our guests here for about the next 7 minutes. Really appreciate you taking time. Oscar, when we started talking last segment with Joe, I'm going to ask you kind of the same thing as a songwriter. When you sit down to write, is it something just coming out of your heart, out of your soul? Is it something you thought about in the shower? Or do you sit down and say, I want to write a song about X?
Well, the songs I write is, you know, it'll start out, like Joe says, some kind of conversation. And through life, which I'm much older than him, I've heard certain things, you know, at the time it didn't mean much to me. You know, certain phrases that I've got from my uncles and my big brothers and things. And as, you know, you go through life, stuff start meaning things to you. And it was the Oscar's Motel was something that was in the neighborhood. There was a motel on 43rd Place, and there was a tavern. There was a beauty shop, there was a grocery store, there was a department store, there was a gas station in this when people finished at the motel, you know, and
to sleep or otherwise, the motel I have.
I remember it vividly, but I can't recall the name of it. I don't even think it had a name, you know. But it was just on the top floor of this L-shaped building, you know, rooms for rent, I guess, you know, whatever. Yeah. And Joe them named it Oscar's Motel. Or did I name it? I don't know. Yeah. Well, I've come up with that some kind of way, but I didn't know they was going to name the album that. Yeah. That's what that was.
I think it's great.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it's just the truth. And most of the things we write are just the truth. We come up with different things, like when we wrote Blacktopping, we were at Purdue University and at this dance, blues dances that they have now, and the girls were those old-fashioned, what they call them now? What they call the stuff? the clothes they wear now.
Retro clothes or something?
Retro clothes.
Oh yeah. Consignment shops. So my nieces love that. They go to a Vinny's, St. Vinny's, and they look nuts.
Yeah. And, you know, all the girls had, you know, them bobtail dresses, you used to call them, like my mom. She used to make them, actually, hand sew them. And, you know, and when you're dancing, they flail out, you know. Anyway, and it was full of girls, you know, and Joe say, Oscar, what you going to do after the show? I'm going blacktopping, you know.
And, I love it.
You know,
buy the record and play it backwards to find out what black.
it took Joe a while to grasp the concept of that, you know. But finally, and then, you know, we collaborated and wrote the song. You know, that sounds like a song, you know. And a lot of people would come up, what does black topic mean? You a grown man, you should understand, man. You know,
Joe, I want to ask you, one of my favorite memories, closest friends over 30 years, I'm the godfather of their two boys now who are out of college already. But we think back, we sit around on the deck and have a beverage. And one of the best memories I have is going to a winery in Missouri and stumbling upon this woman who just sang the blues like an angel. And it was a memory that's etched in my mind. What is it about the blues genre that connects with people like that? What is the magic? Can you even begin to describe it?
Well, it's the mother of all, you know, American popular music, jazz, funk, rock, you know, that all came out of blues. And, you know, as a Caucasian, I don't have a direct, you know, cultural connection to the music, but you know, the truth is it came out of the visceral horrors of slavery. And there's a new album on a new song on our record called Nobody Called It the Blues that Oscar and I wrote with a songwriting partners of ours, and basically talks about back in the day, blues wasn't called blues. It was just a way for people to survive. And the music helped lift their spirits in the depths of, you know, the just slavery and suffering that they had to try to survive. And but it's also, as Oscar says, it can be celebratory, that it's just not music, that music, it's and at its purest form, it's very deep and emotional, and it grabs people deep inside, and you can't really fake it. Whether you're performing it or whether you're feeling it.
Oscar, about a minute and a half left. Just if someone says, Oscar, what does the blues mean to you? What are you going to tell them?
The blues means everything to me because I've had it all my life. And I can't really tell you what your blues is, you know, because I don't know what your blues is, but I know what mine was. Mine, I grew up, I was poor. My father left behind nine kids, you know, and my mother had to raise by herself. And, you know, a lot of times we had really hard times, you know, and so sometimes I write songs about having food, eating, because a lot of times I couldn't, you know, I couldn't take lunch to school. I had to run home and get powdered milk and tea cakes that my mother made. And, you know, went to school. I never had coffee. I had to walk 4 years to high school and stuff like that. And I had to wear hand-me-downs. And so, you know, it was just different type, you know, blues just hits certain people in certain ways. And you'll know it when you get it. When you really get it, you'll know it.
That was the experience we had with my friends down in Hermans, Missouri. You get it, and you don't forget it. You don't forget it later on.
Yeah.
Cashbox Kings is the group. Joe Nosek and Oscar Wilson are the two performers, songers. Get to your favorite place to get your music, alligator.com, cashboxkings.com. The album is entitled Oscar's Motel. Gentlemen, thank you so very much. Really, really appreciate you and appreciate your work.
Thank you, Scott.
Our pleasure. Stay tuned now. Matt Flynn Direct is next across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for all the folks here at WRCE Richland Center. We'll see you then. Banging your drum. This is the Todd Allbold Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.